Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, guys, you know that we've been praying for Israel. We've been praying for what's going on in the Middle East. And if you're just joining in the VFN Radio, we want to encourage you to... We're hearing reports every day. People are connecting with us from all over the country, really all over the world. We're grateful for your partnership and joining this conversation and what you're doing to join with us to continue to spread the light, to share the light, to encourage others, and to, as we try to get a biblical perspective for what is happening around the world. Well, we've talked plenty about Israel, what's happening in Syria, and there are developments that are occurring moment by moment. As we've been saying, you need to prepare yourself. You need to prepare yourself because what is coming on the horizon is going to be very different. We are seeing some very serious things happening, things that are happening, and right now in Syria, you know they've been locked down in a civil war.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right now there is about 90,000 people that have been killed in this war, and it's serious. It's serious because you have Syria and President Bashar Assad, who's being backed by Russia,
Oh, wow.
And Iran, okay? And then, of course, they're fighting the rebels, which is really the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And our president has long been backing the Muslim Brotherhood. And we saw this in Egypt. If you missed this, we've talked about this on VFN Radio, that the first international speech as President of the United States, the President goes to Cairo, Egypt, to speak at the university. The President at the time, who was President of Egypt, Mubarak, doesn't even show up because the President of the United States invites the Muslim Brotherhood, who wasn't even supposed to be there,
mm-hmm.
he invites the Muslim Brotherhood to his speech.
Mm-hmm.
And says that it is his job description, basically.
As our president.
Mm-hmm. To defend, now I'm paraphrasing here, but the perception of Islam around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute, your job is to defend the Constitution of the United States. Since then, Egypt has flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Mubarak is no longer the president. The Muslim Brotherhood is now in control, and they have elected Mursi as their president, who is Muslim Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
and he has instituted himself as the king. They suspended the constitution there, and he's the man in charge now.
All right.
Now, understand that Egypt has a long stretch border with Israel,
mm-hmm.
and this border has had peace and safety for over 40 years. But we're looking at a situation that jeopardizes all of that right now. This is a serious thing. This is a serious thing that's happening. And it's our president that's actually empowered the Muslim Brotherhood and is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in these rebel fighters against Syria. And so right now, the president is actually signed into law. Well, actually, we're going to talk about that in a minute because I do want to say something else. Russia and Iran, and now Hezbollah has been supporting Assad, okay, in the Syrian regime. And they've been supporting them because Russia is interested in that oil. They got to have the oil.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have the oil.
Right.
And you have Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. These guys are like not friendly to who? Israel.
Right.
This is not a good alliance there. And then you have on the other side, you have the United States, who supported the Muslim Brotherhood. And just yesterday, our president authorizes, he says, this is what he says, the red line has been crossed. The red line has been crossed and says now
mm-hmm.
that President Assad has used chemical weapons, and reportedly, allegedly, 150,000 people, 150 people have been killed with these chemical weapons. Now, did he just like now get this revelation? Now, he's he's on record saying on April 30th, saying that there's a red line. If that red line is crossed, if we find out that that's indeed what happened, that he's used these chemical weapons, then we would have to consider all options.
Right.
So within the last 60 days, all of a sudden, we have gotten conclusive evidence. This is what they're reporting. And what's interesting about that, is that now he is pledging support now to the rebel forces. All sorts of aid now, and they've been helping him some. But now you're talking about ammunition, you're talking about all sorts of other support, because here's the deal. It appears that he was just waiting on the sidelines, waiting to see what was going to happen and allow them to win on their own. These are the rebels. And now that it seems that the rebels have suffered some really serious losses, now all of a sudden it seems all of a sudden in the midst of what appears to be all sorts of things happening in our own country, all sorts of situations with now, all of a sudden, the red line has been crossed.
All right, now it comes out.
Now we have to do something about this. And so as a result, this is pretty serious, because now we know that Russia has been sending, and is getting prepared now, and has already sent these anti-craft missiles. Right, anti-aircraft over to Syria. Now, Israel's saying, listen, if these missiles get over there, we're not going to be able to protect our airspace. And so Israel is saying that if those missiles come on over there, we find them, we're going to have to do something about that. Take them out, electronic jammer, but we're going to do something about that. Assad is saying that if Israel does anything in Syria, they're gonna have to pay for it. Russia has said the same thing. Now think about this. You have these anti-aircraft missiles that are going to Syria. Israel has to be protected. Both of these, the rebels and, by the way, the rebels and Syria, Assad, have both said that they want to make sure that Israel does not exist.
Right.
So they're fighting each other in this civil war, but they are united against Israel. I mean, you got to understand what's happening here. Israel's completely surrounded by its enemies. I mean, you have Iraq to the right, Syria to the north, Egypt to the left, and a host of other countries that would love to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth, not to mention Iran, who's already said that their president has already said that the Holocaust didn't even exist.
Right.
It was a lie. I mean, think about that. Think about what we're seeing. Think about what's happening. And think about at this moment in time. Listen, Syria could definitely well be the tipping point. This could be the tipping point that really brings us into a World War III situation. Russia's not going to go away. They got to have that oil. You have Iran, you have Hezbollah, who is supporting Assad. Hezbollah's a terrorist organization that hates Israel. And what Israel's concerned about is that those chemical weapons that everyone knows that Assad has is going to get into the hands of their enemies, and they're going to be used against Israel. So what is Israel to do? Where is Israel in all of this? And where is the United States? Think about this. You have a president who has already suggested that Israel go back to 1967 borderlines.
Right.
But listen, don't take our word for it. We want you to listen and hear for yourself.
The United States believes that negotiations should result in two states with permanent Palestinian borders with Israel, Jordan, and Egypt, and permanent Israeli borders with Palestine. We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
If they go back to a 1967 border lines, what you're saying, let's go back to the place where Israel is not able to defend itself. Understand this. What is your suggestion here? You understand that this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
This is the president of the United States. And listen, in recent history, I don't know of another president that hasn't been, what can I say, hasn't been this supportive
right.
of Israel. We need to stand with the apple of God's eye. You have both of these fighters. You have the rebels, the Muslim Brotherhood. You have Assyria who are fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have said that they both want to wipe out Israel once this war is over. And you have Syria who shares a border, the northern border, that Golan Heights area,
mm-hmm.
with Israel. If Israel loses and goes back to the 1967 border lines, they're going to be completely indefensible.
That's right.
So what are we doing? Are we setting Israel up as a nation? Do we really want to go there? I mean, this is a serious, serious situation. The thing about it is that, look, we're going to play a segment for you. And Austria right now, on the Golan Heights, they're getting ready to pull out their UN troops. Let's listen to this.
Israel's border with Syria is getting more tense. Austria began withdrawing its nearly 400 UN peacekeepers today from the Syrian border. This leaves just more than 500 peacekeepers of the UN force that has monitored the Golan since 1974. Last week, Syrian rebels overran a crossing point and fighting from the Syrian civil war threatened the UN positions. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this week, the Austrian withdrawal shows Israel can only rely on itself for its security.
That's right. Israel can only rely on itself. Think about it. That Golan Heights, I've been to Israel. I've mm-hmm. been to the Golan Heights. You can, from the Golan, you can look right into the middle of Israel.
Yeah.
And if they took that position over again, we already know that their civil war has been spilling on right over there.
Right.
And so what is Israel supposed to do? Sit as just a lame duck waiting, oh, by the way, we'll let y'all finish fighting each other. And the victor of y'all are just going to come on over here and come wipe us out. Is that what we're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, while anti-craft missiles are being sent from Russia, meanwhile, Iran is supporting Syria, Hezbollah is supporting Syria, and you see that this radical Muslim Brotherhood, they want a caliphate. They actually believe in their theology that their Messiah is going to come in great chaos, but they create the chaos.
Yeah.
They create the chaos. They want to see a caliphate, a global world domination, and it's all about toppling over right now. You're seeing tremendous, tremendous unrest, and this could be very well the beginning because Syria is like one of them sets in the dominoes. When Syria really becomes to fall, this is a big, big, big deal there in the Middle East. When
right.
You're going to see a rippling occurring. And the question is, where does America stand with Israel? Where does America stand in the Middle East? And why would we want to support the Muslim Brotherhood? What the agenda here? This is very important. We're going to show you why Israel must maintain the 1967 border lines. I mean, not go back to the 1967 border lines to maintain their safety. Israel is completely surrounded by its enemies. And if they don't stay in place, the border lines now, they're at great risk.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let you listen to a few words here. I'm going to make sure that this is available for you to see in detail in the torch, but it's probably one of the best videos, and you're going to hear this on audio that probably I've ever seen that explains perfectly why Israel must maintain the border lines that they have now.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben-Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
Things have escalated. As of yesterday, the president has authorized now aid to the rebels in the form of weapons. He says the red line has been drawn, and he's been saying that if Syria, if they find out that Syria has indeed used chemical weapons in this civil war, that would be the red line that needed to be crossed, and that the United States will have to examine the courses that they will take in response to that. And they've been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in this now. The president's been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, and now the red line has been drawn, and now you're looking at weaponry, you're looking at ammunition, you're looking at an escalated involvement. Meanwhile, on the other side, you're looking at Russia, who is supporting Assad and Syria's regime with 300 anti-aircraft missiles that are coming into Syria, and they're potentially saying that they're going to be put in densely populated areas.
Mm-hmm.
So now if Israel comes to strike and take those out, you're looking at maybe civilian loss. You're looking at something that's not going to look good. You have Syria as president who's saying that, listen, they may be interested in, once this is all over, that they're interested in going after Israel. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the people who they're fighting against, the rebels, the Islamists,
mm-hmm.
are saying that they want to take Israel out too. I mean, enemies of the enemies are united against one thing, and that's the destruction of Israel. And some, they're saying, some of these rebel groups fighting in Bashar's, Assad's government, okay, have links to Al-Qaeda. Mm. And it's like, come on now. I mean, really, now? Now, do we really want to do this now?
Right.
And Israel's concerned is that, one, should they sit there as a lame duck waiting for their victor, the victor of this war, to come and attack them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And secondly, you have chemical weapons that Assad has had, and if those weapons get into the wrong hands, Israel's enemies will be used against Israel. This is not good. This is not good. Then you have the president who's supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, comes to Israel. First time since he was elected president.
Mm-hmm. In his second term.
In his second term. And the question was, like, why now? Why not? Didn't come while you were running.
Mm-hmm.
He came when he ran, when he was running the first time as a candidate, as senator. Didn't come in his first term, but comes now. And when he comes, he denies an invitation to speak at the Knesset. Denies an invitation to speak at the Knesset. I mean, and then decides to speak at a college. He speaks at a college. That's like a prime minister or a president of another a country comes to the United States,
mm-hmm.
and says, oh, no, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to turn down the U.S. Congress. I'm not going to speak to the U.S. government. I want to go speak at the College of Milwaukee. I want to speak to the students. Why do you want to speak to our youth? Why do you want to come here to speak to our youth? Why does the president want to go to Israel and speak to the youth of Israel? So he starts off the speech in the first 30-40 minute speech, and we have this on the torch. I believe it's called President Obama Sets Up Israel with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 30-40 minutes, it's everything that you would hope. Mm-hmm. That U.S. president would say about Israel. All right. I mean, it was glowing.
Sounded great.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was, oh my goodness, yes, yes. And then the last half of the speech was dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, listen, you are the newer generation. You got to do things differently. And it was all designed, and you can hear it for yourself, all designed to do the community organizing, to stir the pot, if you will, and basically encourage them. It's like, wait a minute, you've come over here to this country to stir the youth up against the established government that's there now? What is this all about? What is it all about? I mean, it's a strategy. It's a plan. This is a plan. And you got to realize what is happening. It's going to be very serious. Some are saying this could be the tipping point. It could lead to World War III, and it's going to have so many serious implications. It's going to have implications in the economy, no doubt. is going to have implications here on American soil. And the thing about it is, like, what is the Christian to do? Well, you're going to need to prepare yourself. You're going to need to prepare for what's coming on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be informed so that you can know what to do. You got to know that you need to pray. You need to be involved in this. And it's this, you know, we need to stay humble. We need to stay low. We need to be prayerful for Israel. But you're going to need to brace yourself because what is coming on the horizon, and we're going to play for you in the extra hour. You don't want to miss the extra hour. We want to revisit, brace yourself, it is coming. And what we talk about that is building a sure foundation on Jesus. Because what can be shaken will be shaken. Every time you see America throughout history that hasn't stood with Israel, you have seen the United States face, ramifications as a result of it. I mean, you can go on and on. It's just a series of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we have those documented.
It is documented, yeah.
We need to make sure that we can make that available. But every single time that America has not stand with Israel, has thrown Israel on the bus, if you will, under the bus, America has seen something happen, whether it be a catastrophe and a storm, you name it. But something has happened, and we want to brace ourselves when we go around poking our finger in the apple of God's eye, when we don't support God's people, when we don't support the only ally that we have in the Middle East, when our only ally is surrounded by their enemies. I mean, I've been to Israel. It's like, it is so small. When they were talking about having borders to defend themselves, they're saying that a plane can cross Israel in less than 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
A fighter plane, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And that they could actually attack Israel only 2 minutes into that travel. That makes them highly vulnerable.
Very.
Highly vulnerable. And what Israel needs right now is the United States to be supportive of Israel, to be behind Israel, not exposing them, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that you need to brace yourself, you need to be prepared, you need to be prayerful, and you need to be alert. We are living in a season right now and in a time right now that things are happening rapidly. There was a period in time where it took such a long time for things to manifest. It took a long time. You saw the beginning of it, but it took a while before these two areas connected the dots. But now we're seeing a convergence everywhere. All things are coming together, and it's like it's happening so quickly. What you don't want to do is use yesterday's mindset for what's happening today. You need to upgrade your thinking. You need to be alert on the front lines because before you know it, things are going to change. We know that things are going to change in the economy. God's already showed us. God spoke to us prophetically in 6 minutes, meaning rapidly, not a literal 6 minutes, but rapidly, the economy is going to go down.
Mm.
You're going to see all sorts of unrest in the United States, civil unrest. And we need to know, as the salt of the earth, as believers, what we're to do. We certainly don't want to panic. Amos tells us that God shares his secrets with his friends. I mean, God has allowed us to know some of the things and others to know some of the things that are going to be happening on the face of this earth. And we could either do a couple of things. We could either put our fingers in our ears or put our hands over our eyes and make pretend that it's not going to happen, or this is not going to happen in my generation. Or we can receive these words in humility.
Mm-hmm.
In humility, take them seriously and begin to evaluate. Begin to pray. Begin to do what we need to do as believers to fulfill the Great Commission. Listen, we talked about a segment not too long ago, that no preacher is coming, the whole church is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And the work of the ministry is not about the one-man show and the one. This is about the whole church being involved and activated. And it's time to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to fulfill what God has told us to do in the Great Commission. It's time to reach the harvest and to be at work with the Father's business.
Right.
But if you're lulled to sleep, if you're sitting in the lazy boy, if you're totally consumed with entertainment and everything that's going on in the face of the world, and you have no idea that we're on the precipice of something that's not good, you're going to miss it. You're going to be shocked. You're going to panic, and you're going to be unprepared. And then what? Well, you're hearing it now. You can take heed now. You can pray about it now. You can hear God on what your involvement needs to be. But you don't want to miss the extra hour, because in the extra hour, we're going to talk about brace yourself. It's a prophetic word that's going to help you to kind of connect the dots for yourself and to get a deeper perspective of what we're living in. We must stand with Israel. We must be supportive of Israel. When we look at the connection between the United States and Israel, when we look at that, we have Judeo-Christian values that have forged the bond between Israelis and American. I mean, this is a segment that we were able to do here on VFN Radio, and you definitely want to see that on the torch. But we have a long history. I mean, when Israel was recognized as a state, It was 11 minutes when President Harry Truman, with the full force of the United States behind him, confirmed and congratulated Israel and recognized Israel as a state. We have a long, long history. And what needs to happen is for us to continue not to forget our roots. I mean, when you think about Chaim Solomon, From the very beginning, gave funds and resources to George Washington at a time that George Washington needed the money for his troops.
All right.
And we honored Israel. Look at the back of your dollar bill and you can see the Star of David. You can see the Star in the back of your dollar bill. And we honored Israel. We wanted to recognize them for what they did back then, from the beginning of the founding of this nation. We have to keep our attention and focus on the safety and the posterity of Israel. We're living in crucial times. We're living in an hour that things are shifting as we speak. And we want to make sure that we don't miss it. We want to make sure that we're not sleeping. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to support those that are standing with Israel. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Support organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel. We support Duget Ministry in Tel Aviv. But this is the time for Israel to turn their hearts back to God, for them to receive the Messiah, and for them to call out on the name of the Lord. Listen, they are going to be pressed on every side, and they're not going to take the sitting back. They will respond. They will take action. One thing you can bank on, Israel will not sit. They will not sit and see them being taken out. They will take action. And once they take action, once they do one thing to defend themselves, I'm telling you, their enemies are going to rush those borders. But we can be prayerful. We can stand with them. I'm telling you, brace yourself. Be prepared. Be prayerful, because the hour is close.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.